What is cool?
Cool is doing well in school.
Now that's cool.
Anyone who does well in school is a nerd.
Now that's not.
Cool is an attitude.
And if you have the right attitude, you can achieve anything.
Be cool. Stay in school.
Welcome back, sports fans, to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call into the show, please do it. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332. We just played the game Name That Loot, where the points don't matter. That's right, the points are just like the WNBA record.
What?
Whoa. So what? So you're
that's
what?
That's a who's lying anyway.
You're what, 1-2?
It doesn't matter.
Lacey's.
No, it
doesn't
matter.
It doesn't matter because you're down right now. I think everyone's won
once. It doesn't matter.
In this room.
It doesn't matter because you got cocky after winning the first week and didn't study. That's the real lesson here. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, all listening at home, do your schoolwork. Study. It just doesn't happen on game day.
I think we need
you gotta practice.
I think we need a little bit of an incentive, though, for whoever wins.
I'm working on
a belt.
Creating something that the winner can wear for the week. All around campus and create kind of an awareness of what we're doing. Ooh. We've talked about a button. We've talked about a belt. A championship belt is going to cost some dollars because I'm not going to go cheap on the belt. So y'all going to have to pull in and we're going to have to make it happen.
I'm just going to have to say, every time Kellen loses, he takes a shot at women. So
yeah. Wow.
That's all I'm saying. WNBA this week, last week it was gentlemen let ladies win.
You've been very sour lately.
He's getting called on it.
You've been very sour lately.
All right, the voices you hear in this room, mine is Christian Bond. I'm Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. Kellen Westring joins us in studio. He is a member of the POU football team and two members of the POU basketball program, Lacey Nicholson of women's basketball and Drew Artisoni, the point forward of men's basketball. So let's talk about George Fox versus POU. We've already kind of alluded to it throughout the show already. Last Saturday, POU traveled to Newburgh to face George Fox. POU jumped out to an early lead. Ethan McKildry scored on a 22-yard rushing touchdown. Dove into the corner of the end zone, got the Lutes on the board. Point after was blocked, so the Lutes led 6-0. Later in the first quarter, Ben Welch scored an 11-yard touchdown pass from John Schaub. Lutes went for two but failed. POU took a 15-7 lead into halftime, but there was some confusion at the end of the first half. George Fox tried to run a trick play. Kellen, can you kind of walk us through what all was going on during that play? I'm assuming you've watched film and seen all of what happened. I didn't get back to it, but what happened on that end of that first half?
Right, so a guy who I would like to think knows football and myself, who isn't on special teams, there's about 11 seconds left and it was third down, and I see their field goal unit, you know, come onto the field. I'm like, okay, this is interesting. You know, they still have one more down left. There's 11 seconds. Why are they doing this? Then they call timeout. They go off the field. Then they come back and bring their offense on the field. But one guy doesn't go across the numbers. And that's what you have to do to be able to run this trick play. And so the flag is for deception. Great call by the refs. Thankfully, they saw it. I know I started the show today talking about how poor the officiating was. But this was a big-time call by them because the guy who scored the touchdown, number 15, did not run outside the numbers. And the ref watched that whole thing. It was a great call by the Bruins because we kind of got caught with our pants down, if you will. And a great call by them. Again, would have been a touchdown if that guy just went across the numbers, but he didn't. Thankfully, it wasn't a touchdown, but again, obviously the Bruins went away with a W. And so I know special teams Judd Keim is looking for other teams to start doing that because they definitely fooled us if he would have gone across the numbers.
Kellen, I feel like it's one of those things that is one of those intricacies of the game. It's just where you're thankful there was a ref looking. It's kind of like when you're speeding. You know, you're going semi-fast, but then the guy blows your doors off, and you're like, hey, where's the cop? When I need him, there was a cop there when you needed him that time because that would have been a huge momentum killer
right before halftime.
Yeah, that would have been a problem.
So then coming out of the half, the game was very tight, very tough between the two teams. George Fox didn't have a lead until there was about 7 minutes left in the game. So George Fox took over. It was 22-18 with about 7 minutes left. The Lutes were driving until John Schaub threw an interception with 3 minutes and 11 seconds left in the game. The game wasn't over because the Bruins took over on their own 5-yard line, so they were pinned deep in their own territory. The POU defense forced George Fox to punt with 1:27 left on the clock. Okay, so even getting the ball back, that's plenty of time to drive down the field and score a touchdown to win the game. It got even better for POU when the Bruin punter shanked this punt. The punt went from the 5-yard line to about the 27-yard line. So POU got a gift and took over from the 27-yard line with 1:22 left in the game. POU was driving. Schaub completed a pass to Kellen Westring that took the Lutes down to the 9-yard line, maybe even a little closer. Schaub was slow to get up. I talked to John during the week. He said it felt like 2 or 3 seconds. It was 7 or 8. I mean, he was down for a while. He was down long enough for the official to walk over to him, look at him, turn around, blow his whistle, and call an injury timeout. He did that with 8 seconds left in the game. Because the injury timeout was for an offensive player, that resulted in a 10-second runoff, and with 8 seconds left, there's no time left in the game, and POU ends up losing by 4 in what was really kind of a disappointing fashion. You'd like to see a team in any situation. It could have been George Fox. I would have liked to see the game end on the player's watch and not on a call from a referee like that. So it was wild. It was crazy. What are everybody's takeaways from Saturday's game?
Just at the end there, you know, you have to, as an official, you don't really have a choice, or else some teams would just make a kid go down to win an extra timeout. That's why they do the 10-second runoff. It's another whistle against deception. I know John got his bell rung pretty good. So, I mean, John thought he got up in time. Guess he didn't. But that's just tough on the POU team. But at the end of the day, POU's 14 points, 2 minutes and 45 seconds, 2 turnovers, and 1 really bad coaching decision from 6-0. It's not a 3-3 football team. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's not a talent problem.
Yeah.
Untimely turnovers and just a bad coaching decision. It's what's cost this team a perfect season so far.
That's fair. Lacey, what did you think of Saturday's game?
Well, I was able to catch up on the game at the start of the second quarter. And guys, I'm kind of convinced I'm bad luck here because at the Whitworth game, I got there at halftime and the Lutes were up, and we ended up losing that one, and I'm coming into the George Fox game, watching it at the second quarter, and we're up, and everything's fine and dandy, and then the wheels start falling off the wagon as soon as I start watching.
Maybe you should stop.
Maybe you should have turned it off.
Having said that, regardless of the hard loss, there were a lot of small victories on the day. I wasn't able to see Ben Welch's first touchdown of his college career, but I was so excited when I heard that happened. Ben Welch has 923 career receiving yards and scored his first touchdown in the George Fox game, which was very exciting. I know John Schaub was excited for his friend and that he was able to be the one to get him the ball. Also, Ethan McKeldry had a big day along with his touchdown. McKeldry had 108 all-purpose yards, 28 rushing, 56 kick return yards, and 24 punt return yards. So big day for him as well.
Yeah,
well said by both of you guys. I think our red zone offense is what really struggled with us. We only punted the ball once. And so you think about how many times we had the ball closing in, you know, being able to almost potentially score. Drew hit it on the head. 2 big turnovers were huge. The one where Schaub ended up fumbling, we were on about our own 20 going in. Their 20 going in. And just the ball just slipped out of John's hands as he was trying to kind of do a knee slide, if you will, in the pick as we were on their own 25 going in to score. So it's tough when you're so close to scoring and you turn the ball over. Also, they didn't turn the ball over once. And so got to give a lot of credit to the Bruins for hanging on to the football and not giving it back to us. It's interesting, the time of possession, we had the ball for 34 minutes and they had it for 25. And so again, something that I am very proud of this team, again, Drew, you mentioned 6-0. I don't quite agree with the timing, 2:45. I think we're even close. I think we're about 1:30 away from being 6-0. But we've won time of possession almost every game we've played in, which is exciting. That's big time for this Lute offense, because last year our defense was basically like the Seahawks against the Cardinals, just on the field almost every game for more than 35 minutes. And so it's exciting to see our offense continue to sustain drives. But if you want to win the football game, we can't turn the ball over. So, Drew, to your point, you hit up right there on the head.
Yeah. I left Saturday's game trying to process everything I just watched. I thought that both teams moved the ball well. I thought that both defenses played well. I think with a final score of 22-18, I think that's fair to say. The game had a wacky finish each quarter. There was something that you could take out of it and go, wow, that was kind of strange. I've never seen that before. We talked about the ends of both halves. They were weird. My question to everyone is if there's anything that POU could have done differently to change the outcome of the game.
Well, Christian, I'm going to sound like a broken record here and very colloquial, but, you know, ball security is job security at the end of the day. If you don't turn the ball over, you're going to find a way on the field because ball security is job security. And I feel like POU holds onto the ball and POU wins. Period. End of story.
That's I think that's fair.
Yeah, I echo what you said there, Drew. I kind of mentioned it earlier, right before you spoke, about we can't turn the ball over.
Nope.
I also think our special teams need to do a better job, and it's the little things. I mean, you think about PATs, they should be boring, right? But again, everyone has to block. It's kind of like a three-second train wreck as you're on that line. We can ask Jonah about that, what it takes to block for a PAT. It has to be a good snap. It has to be a good hold. And he has to kick it through the uprights. And we did not do that after our first touchdown. Dallin misses the first PAT. It's not about blaming anybody in particular, but our line did not block very well. Number 7 for the George Fox Bruins, who's a heck of a football player, came right up the gap, and Dallin didn't have a shot. And we didn't make the two-point conversion on the second touchdown. And so, again, you start doing some math. If Dallin makes the first PAT, makes the second PAT, and, again, he makes the three other field goals, again, if we get the ball down to where we needed to with a minute 27 left, Dallin kicks a game-winning field goal. We leave Newberg with a one-point win just like last year. So it's frustrating. Again, we're not a team that likes to blame anybody or point fingers, but it's one of those things where you start doing some math and you missed a PAT in the first quarter. You don't think that might come back to haunt you, but it does once again, just like it did against Whitworth.
You know, I'm not going to call it blaming. It's just an aspect of the game where, you know, you make those couple extra points and all of a sudden, like you said, it's easy to kick that game-winning field goal and walk away with a win. Lacey, what'd you think?
I think defense did better than offense this weekend. I think offense was timid and struggling. But to hit on the defensive side of things, Carson Ketter led the defense with 14 tackles. Isaiah Watkins had 7 tackles, a sack, and 2 tackles for loss. Tanner Perry had 3 tackles, including a sack, and Cooper Murphy had 5 tackles and 2 pass breakups. So I think the defense did a good job. I think it was last weekend when we were making predictions for this game, I was expecting a couple turnovers from our defense, which we didn't see in this game, which was unfortunate. Could have shifted the momentum a bit. On offense, the Lutes had 364 yards of total offense, 242 passing, and 122 running. So not bad there. PLU was 7 of 14 on third down and had 2 turnovers, a fumble, and an interception, both of which were by John Schaub. So again, with the whole blaming thing, I mean, it's a team sport, but I don't know if the offense was timid. I honestly, watching the game, it felt like PLU offense was on their heels and George Fox was the aggressor. I don't know, Kellen, you were out there, but it just didn't seem like the confidence was there from the offensive side of things.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I love your point of view there, Lacey. I think we were confident. I just think, and again, we're not going to blame, but those 2 turnovers, I mean, those should have been 14 points very easily. We're going in to score. We had proven that we can score against them in the red zone in the first quarter. And they were just backbreakers. I mean, we're on, like I said, that interception when we try to get DJ in the ISO corner. I mean, the corner peel off made a great play. It's tough sometimes not to get 2 X's and O's, but when there's only 1 route that's primary and you don't have a dump off, you don't have an outlet, and John Schaub, again, who's not a 4-year starter, he's still learning to play quarterback, no offense against him, but if he's not open, you got to throw the ball away. But that's happened a couple times this year where it's primary. I got to get it to him. Doesn't matter how many blue jerseys there are, you got to be able to throw it away. That's what the great quarterbacks do.
I have a kind of X's and O's question for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you guys have a fire call for your holder when they blow through the PAT line like that? Does your holder know he's got to yell fire, pull the ball, and break out one way?
What does fire mean? You mean like... like pick it up and try and run it into
like
the
Peter,
end?
Peter, like
yeah. So, no, so a fire call would be like like there's a fire, everyone get out of the house is basically why they call it fire.
But what does that mean on the football field?
Snap to the holder. Holder goes to put the ball down, sees that the blocking scheme is been wedged out or someone broke through, and that holder can call fire, and both guys at the end of the line who are off the ball can run into the end zone because they are off the ball. They're considered receivers, and you can throw one of them the ball,
okay,
or you can run it in around the corner if someone's got it. If one side breaks down, the other side doesn't. And that's on the holder, I feel like, because you should never, ever put Dallin in that position where he has to kick into someone's teeth.
Right. And it's
that's a safety thing for Dallin, too.
Right. You kind of put yourself in that holder position. I've never held it all for a field goal kicker, but you think about catching that ball, putting it down, you're not really looking at the line. You know what I mean? Because it was a perfect snap. The first PT that was blocked, perfect snap. He catches it, puts it down. I don't think he sees the line. I think if it's a high snap, that's when you yell fire.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to call in and give us your opinions on the George Fox POU football game from last week, and the number to do it is 253-535-7332. Once again, it's 253-535-7332. Kellen, this is kind of – I want to ask a question because we've seen it all year long where the eyes above see that the formation isn't right or something's not right, and a timeout is used maybe in the first quarter, maybe in the third quarter.
Right.
And last weekend was a case, that whole fourth quarter, I don't know that you had a timeout. You certainly didn't on that last drive.
We had one in the fourth quarter, but you're right.
I mean, you were out of what...
When we needed them.
You needed them bad. Yeah. Is that, in your opinion, early in the game, you know, maybe first, maybe third quarter, is it worth taking the five-yard penalty in the delay of game call that will happen if you're out of formation, not like the way the coaches want to see it? Is it worth that five-yard penalty to save the timeout for later in the game? Or do those timeouts need to be called because you're out of formation? What's your thought on that?
Yeah, I think we need to save them when we really need them. I think when you call a timeout in the third quarter when there's a formation that's mixed up, yes, it's frustrating. Yes, it's like, gosh, we need to talk about this. But it's one of those things where, like you said, Christian, especially in a game that's potentially going to be close, you need those at the end, and we could have definitely used more than one there in that fourth quarter. And that's something that we got to get better at, too. And I think it's easy to blame the coaching staff, but it also comes to us as an offense, knowing the offense.
Right.
You know, knowing where to line up.
It's definitely a two-way street.
No question.
You know, you have to know what the coaches expect of you.
Right, right. And it's tough for any OC, first and 15, second and 25, but at the same time, those timeouts are so vital at the end of games.
Yeah, Christian, there's just a point that comes around where, you don't want to stall a drive when it's going, and two, there's not a lot of plays in the playbook for third and 8+ and second and 15 and first and 20. There's not a lot of plays for that on a play sheet, Kellen. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't see your guys' play sheet, but I just know from experience there's not a lot of plays for that down and distance.
I mean, I've saw POU convert 4th and 19 2 weeks ago.
Was it screen?
No, it wasn't a screen. It was legitimate. It was kind of a corner. It was a corner or whatever it was.
It's kind of a long drag. But no, Christian, I'm with you on that, man. I mean, I think as a fan's perspective, it's tough. But again, it's one of those things where I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, the coaches need to do a better job. I think offensively, we need to know our systems. But at the same time, I think first and 15 is doable. Again, it's frustrating when you have to go more than 10. But at the same time, have confidence in us to be able to get it done. But at the same time, we got to do a better job, X's and O's wise, knowing where to line up, knowing when there's motion and all that stuff. And that's the one fine line I think about this offense is my dad loves the huddle. And do I love the huddle as well? Yes, I love looking into each other's eyes. I love that. But sometimes we get out of the huddle late. There's 4, 3, 2 on the play clock. We can't get the motion in. We still got to run the play. Oh, timeout. You know, so it's a two-edged street, like you said, Christian, sometimes when we do huddle, rather than kind of going sometimes just spread, no huddle, which can also be effective.
All right, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little University of Washington Huskies football. They got a big matchup this week against Utah. We'll give you our thoughts on the game. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hockey career began like many players, on frozen ponds. That's why the groundbreaking partnership between the NHL and Constellation is so beneficial for the communities we play in and fans like you. Constellation and the NHL have a commitment to a clean energy future. So we join forces to offset the league's entire carbon footprint this season and work with NHL clubs to help reach their energy efficiency goals. I'm proud to be part of a league that's taking action to preserve the environment. Constellation, the NHL's preferred energy choice.
Welcome back, folks, to Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. We want to thank all of our listeners who are tuning in this morning. If you want to call into the show, though, please do it. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, that is 253-535-7332.
All right. My name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. Joining me in studio, as always, is a member of the POU football team. He wears number 7. His name is Kellen Westring. From POU women's basketball, number 44, she's a forward. Her name is Lacey Nicholson. And the point forward from the men's basketball team, he wears number 32. His name is Drew Artisoni. So let's talk a little bit about the University of Washington Huskies. They beat up on Oregon State last weekend. So I think earlier in the year I said that their greatest test down the stretch would be USC. I didn't realize that Utah was leading the Pac-12 South. So what makes you? We need to know more about this Utah team. What makes Utah a good football team?
Well, Christian, I think you really hit on it. Utah kind of snuck up on us. I'm not sure if the dogs are feeling the same way. But Utah is 7-1. They're a respectable football team. And I think it'll be one of the tougher matches yet for the dogs. Utah's offense is actually in the bottom half of the Pac-12. They're ranked 7th in points per game, averaging 29.9. They're getting things done on the defensive side of the ball, keeping teams to 21.6 points per game. Averaging more points than you are allowing is a good way to win football games, that's for sure.
That's absolutely right there, Lacey.
You know, Lacey, you know, not to beat a dead horse here, but Utah seems to. They have a bully defense. They've put up 71 points off turnovers. However, they will be without safety Marcus Williams this weekend, who got hurt against UCLA. That hurt them pretty bad against UCLA, as Josh Rosen and company had a couple huge gains through the air, a couple really big plays. So I look for Jake Browning to probably take advantage of those same matchups with the freshman safety out there. Mm-hmm. Utah does have the Pac-12 leader in sacks and Hunter Dimick. So, you know, can't overlook these guys. They're 7-1. They prove they're a good football team. They're going to, you know, they're going to make it pay mm-hmm. when – make it count when you guys turn the ball over. So, if you know, UW takes care of the ball and continues to do what they do, I think it's going to be a great game.
We talk about the offense all the time. Jake Browning, incredibly impressive this season, along with his teammates. The Huskies' defense is allowing 14.6 points per game and 318 yards per game. That's getting the job done on the other side of the ball as well. Which side of the ball is going to be more crucial in this Saturday's game for the Huskies?
You know, I really think the defense is going to what make both of these teams really special, and it's going to come down to the defensive side of the ball for both these teams on Saturday. And if Utah can really slow down this high-powered UW offense with your boy Drew, the possible Heisman candidate Jake Browning, and can UW play well enough defensively to win on the road? One thing they really have to pay attention to is Utah running back Joe Williams, who you watch his highlights from last week. He bursted for 332 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns on 29 carries. Just unreal. He did that against a UCLA Bruins defense that had been pretty solid against the run this season as well. So it's going to be a pretty fun game to watch.
I think UW's offense is going to really have to get it done for the Huskies this weekend. Like I said before, like we've all said, Utah's defense is pretty stellar, and Washington averages 227 rushing yards per game. Utah allows 119 rushing yards per game. Washington sits 6th in pass yards per game with 259, while Utah allows 243 passing yards per game. So it's looking like a pretty good matchup with UW offense and Utah defense. I think if Miles Gaskin and the offensive line can execute the run game, that's going to be the separation for the Huskies, and that's going to get them the win.
You know, I couldn't agree more, Lacey. The offense is working at 91% efficiency rating in the red zone, which is absolutely unheard of. As Jake Browning's pointing at a Cal player as I say that. Jake has also moved up to the number 2 spot on SportsCenter's Heisman Watch. He's got 30 total passing TDs, 1,700 yards and some change, and 69 rushing yards. I don't think he's going to be able to edge out Lamar Jackson, though, but it's been great for UW football to get a little public spotlight, get a national stage set on them. I wouldn't be surprised if they catch some college game day here sooner or later. Yeah. Lee Corso and crew is going to have to come down and watch the dogs play because they've been absolutely incredible.
I think college game day is going to be in Utah, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure I saw that on Google. That could be right.
If you know that, please call on the show and let us know. Yeah. I believe it is though.
If it's going to be in Utah, that's great, but they need to come to the Dog Pound.
For sure. They need to
they have to come here.
They need to come to Seattle.
It's almost ridiculous at this point. If they continue, if they win the next two games, you have to come.
I'm pretty sure, because looking at Utah's website this morning, it did say that actually on their homepage, so College Game Day will be there, which it should be. It's going to be a great game. I believe Browning will throw for at least 250 yards, and he'll toss about three touchdowns. Like you mentioned there, Lacey Gaskin will pick up some carries and rush for about a touchdown or two. The Huskies are going to lead this game, in my opinion, from start to finish. Won't be very close. Utah will put up a few points. Again, they're at home. But it's going to be a tough day for the Utah offense. I say Washington stays unbeaten with this one. They win the ball game 42-16.
42-16 on the road?
42-16 on the road. They're the number four team in the country.
Utah's number 17.
Yes, but they barely beat BYU, and again, you can say we barely beat Arizona. But again, you look at a lot of these scores for Utah; they're really, really close. I think the Huskies' speed is unbelievable this year.
All right.
Well, I'm going to go with 36-17. Dogs win. I think the Huskies are really going to be challenged with this Utes defense, but I think they'll be able to pull it out.
I'm going to say 42-17. Dogs roll. Jake throws for three runs for one. The offense continues to dominate just because Utah really – yeah, they're this number 17 team in the country. They haven't really played anybody though, Christian. They played Southern Utah. They played BYU. I can't get behind a team that schedules Southern Utah to beat UW as well, as good as they've been playing. You know what I mean?
Right.
You might as well schedule, you know, Sisters of Charity.
Sisters of Charity.
Christian, all right. For the first time this year, I saw a flashing light.
We do. We have a caller. This is Micah from off campus. Micah, what do you think about this weekend's game for the Huskies?
Well, it's going to be a tough matchup. The thing you got to look at is, obviously, you guys are big on stats, and that's important to look at when you're analyzing a game. Utah, much like the Huskies, didn't have much of a tough preseason schedule. They played Southern Utah, and they played San Jose State, which we respectively played. You know, Rutgers and some cupcake games. So I think the interesting thing about this game is a dynamic you haven't touched on yet is that Troy Williams is their starting quarterback, who was a starting quarterback for the Huskies. I think it's going to go one of two ways. I think the Dogs are going to jump on him quick, and it's going to be somewhat of a blowout, or I think he's going to feel the chip on his shoulder of proving, you know, you guys should have given me a shot, you should have given me a chance, and they might make it a heck of a game. But that's all I had to say, and I appreciate you guys' show, and go Dogs.
Micah, thank you very much, but I got one question for you. Utah, 17th-ranked team in the nation. Lacey outlined how well the teams match up as far as what the Huskies do offensively and what the Utes do defensively. You really think it's going to be a blowout?
Well, as Drew pointed out, they're missing their starting safety, which is a huge factor, but UCLA's backup quarterback put up 40-something points on him, and I think you're looking at a guy who's second in the Heisman race, and what he's expected to do is put up a lot of numbers on him. And they do have a good defense that puts a lot of pressure coming from the outside. They like to blitz linebackers and lots of different things. Oregon State ran the same kind of schemes, obviously a different talent level, but I think the Huskies are going to put them away.
All right, cool. Thank you very much. Micah, we appreciate the phone call.
Yep, go Lutes.
There it is.
Thanks, Micah.
You know, Micah agreed with me. You know, that Southern Utah game, man, that hurts me in my soul. Like, you score 24 points on Southern Utah. Congratulations. And you get beat by five by Cal, who UW is absolutely rolled. So I just don't even think it's even a game. I'm sorry, Christian. I know you want me to play well. I know you want it to be a good game, but I think it's going to be another unwatchable.
What's your take, Christian, real quick?
I don't know. I think... Lacey outlined that everyone's talking about Jake Browning in this room, but really where the Huskies are much better than the Utes is in the run game. I mean, the Huskies are averaging 227 yards on the ground. Utah's given up 119. I mean, the Huskies have to win the game on the ground. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's where I think it's going to be won and lost. But
they also got to stop Williams, you know, for Utah, because he's had a great game coming off a great game against UCLA.
I don't see it being a blowout. I think this is actually going to be a true test for the Huskies, and I think they will win, but I don't think it's going to be 42-17. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, we all are entitled to our opinion, so we respect that. So, folks, we're going to take a quick short break here. When we come back, our special segment, the Seahawks will be underway. Find out what they will do what we will think they will do next. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Don't worry. 74 people were picked before me in the NFL draft.
To fight childhood obesity, United Way and the NFL are helping kids play at least 60 minutes a day.
Okay, time for the team obstacle course. Yay!
What this place needs is more healthy kids. To get involved or donate, go to unitedway.org/play60.
Now I get it.
Welcome back, sports fans, to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to call into the show, please do it. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. We just had our first caller. Very thankful for that. And again, he called 253-535-7332.
The question I want to throw out to our listeners right now that you can call in and answer is, should the NFL change their overtime format? We're going to get to it a little later. We know the Seahawks ended up tying 6-6. We want to know your opinion, those people listening out there. Should the NFL have a different overtime format? I want to remind you, my name is Christian Bond. I am POU's half athlete. I'm joined by POU wide receiver Kellen Westring, POU forward Lacey Nicholson, and POU point forward Drew Artisoni. So, like I said, weird, that's how Pete Carroll described the game. It was a weird football game. It ended in a 6-6 tie. Each team had a chance to win the game with about 4 minutes left. The Cardinal kicker smashed the ball off the upright. Steven Hauschka then came in and shanked a 27-yard field goal. So the first thing I guess we need to decide is if everyone was right or everyone was wrong with last week's prediction.
A tie? Everyone was wrong.
Everyone was wrong.
You're going
because
wrong. Well, I was.
Could because, we go right?
No, no,
I think we're right.
No, because no, because now, because now a tie can be a guess.
But let's be honest. Yeah, the Seahawks are lucky to walk out of Arizona with a tie. They should have lost that game.
Yeah.
Totally should have lost that game.
Mm-hmm. The offense struggled.
I just
all day long, Lacey. I want to know what was wrong. What was up with that Seahawk offense?
Well, for starters, the Seahawks offense had the ball a significant amount of time less than the Arizona offense did. The Cardinals had the ball for about 46 minutes, whereas the Seahawks had the ball for only 28 minutes. It's tough for an offense to get into rhythm if they spend a majority of their time on the sidelines.
That's true.
And that definitely showed. The Seahawks had 10 penalties for 90 yards called against them. It's not a really good way to get the ball moving forward. And the Hawks were 0-for-2 in the red zone. They were 3-for-14 on third down, forcing them to punt the ball away 9 times, which is quite a bit. Tough night for the Hawks on offense. Not really getting much done there.
Drew, what'd you take? What'd you take away from that game?
So the Seahawks offense went into the desert and withered and died. It was horrendous to watch. I have never seen the Seahawks move the ball like that ever, or not move the ball like that, I guess I should say. Russell Wilson is still clearly bothered by his knee and ankle injury. He ran the ball one time.
Yeah.
One time. What makes Russell Wilson so effective, ladies and gentlemen?
Ability
to do dual threat quarterback. The ability to run the ball. If he can't run the ball, he's just a really, really short quarterback who has a good arm.
Yeah.
That's all he is.
That's fair.
However, I really support Pete Carroll and the support he showed for Hauschka, saying, hey, he's our guy. We expect him to make it every single time. It's just what he does.
Yeah, talk about that field goal at the end
compared to what Bruce Arians said about his kicker is, we pay him to make those. He's got to be better. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, that's a difference in culture. That's a difference in leadership. And that is why the Hawks can be as banged up as they are. Christine Michael can get held to no rushing yards. Russell Wilson can become one-dimensional, and they can still get out of the desert with a tie. I don't know where they found the oasis there, but they found it at the very end.
And they're missing Cam Chancellor as well.
Yeah,
I mean, we can get started on the IR list, if you will. But I think, you know, when it comes to their offense, guys, they're really missing something. It's not number 24. It's not beast mode. It's not Rawls, who still has an injury. Their O-line play is horrific. It's the lowest paid offensive line in the league, and it clearly shows that they're doing, you know, kind of a scheme different than a lot of teams do, which they're not building from the inside out. They're kind of building from the outside in, and it really shows. They got a lot of great skill players, which is awesome, and yes, you need to get them their money, but for them to get the ball, they got to be able to protect. Russell's running for his life, and again, like you said, Drew, yeah. He still kind of has that injury, and so for him not to be able to really be comfortable back there is that not a very good sign for the Hawks, and they really need to clean that up as this season moves forward, Lacey.
I want to remind our listeners right now that they can call in and let us know if they think that the NFL should change their overtime format. The number to call is 253-535-7332. Once again, 253-535-7332. You know, even though both teams combined to score 12 points, did you find the game entertaining?
I would say for the first 3.5 quarters of that football game, I was yawning about to nap. But when you're getting down to the wire and it's a tie game and you're coming down to the end of the fourth quarter, yeah, absolutely, it's entertaining. And then when you go into overtime, I mean, overtime's always entertaining regardless of the score. And then finally, when you find kickers missing field goals or getting blocked or whatever, I think what's entertaining about that is watching the reactions of the teams. Mm-hmm. And Drew kind of already hit on it. The Cardinals' reaction to the missed field goal was a bit different than the Seahawks' reaction to Hauschka's missed field goal. So, but that was definitely entertaining. I would have loved to see a team come out with a win versus a tie, but it is what it is.
I mean, Christian, I've said it in here a few times. Defense wins championships, but offense drives attendance, and offense drives television views. If you don't score, no one's going to watch. No one wants to watch a punt fest except for the diehard football fans who love great defense. Do you know what percentage of football fans that is? Probably like 30%. The other 70% want to see the guys in the end zone. It wasn't entertaining.
So you were not entertained at all by any part of this game?
Are you not entertained?
Sorry, Russell Crowe, I was not entertained.
Interesting.
I was not entertained.
So
I
was, Drew. And as an offensive player, you would say, well, geez, Kellen, you're an offensive player. There was barely any offense. The final score was 6-6. It was a hockey game. Yes, but I was on the edge of my seat the entire game with my Tostitos nachos. The Seahawks defense, they were so tired, yet they battled their brains out on the field to the very end. And again, guys, as a competitor, as we all are, on and off the field, you watch Richard Sherman and you watch Bobby Wagner's effort on that last Arizona field goal. It's a testament to their coaching. It's a testament to their culture. It's just a testament to how they never give up. And it was so inspiring because, again, think about how long they've been on that field. And for them to give it an effort that was 110% was unbelievable to watch. Again, Arizona wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald, in my opinion, one of the greatest of all time to ever play the game, had this to say after the game. He said, I've been in this league for 13 years. I've played in more than 200 games, regular season and playoffs, and this is the craziest game I've ever played in. So watching that game, my whole family was around. It was just like you're waiting for something big to happen. You're waiting, and the defense just finds a way to stop them on third down, both sides of the ball. And then you watch those field goal kicks drift left, drift right. And it's why sports is so entertaining. So I was entertained.
All right. So once again, I want to remind the listeners they can call in and jump in on the conversation with us at 253-535-7332. Once again, 253-535-7332. It's the question I've been asking the listeners. I want to ask everyone in here right now. Does the NFL need to change their overtime format?
I don't think any game should ever end in a tie. I hit on it at the very beginning of the show. It's getting under my skin. I think soccer may be the only sport that should be able to end in a tie. I think after 15-minute overtime, it's just sudden death from there on out.
That'd be
and
fun.
Is fatigue going to be a factor? Absolutely. Is football a physical sport? Absolutely. But, guys, 2009, Syracuse men's basketball takes UConn into 6 overtimes.
Mm-hmm.
That is sports right there. That is grit. That is teams. Yes, fatigue is a factor, but that's what you have to get through. Who's going to be that team that grits down and gets the win?
That game was the first time video replay was such a huge part of basketball. when Mr. Dievendorf, mm-hmm. was his last name, hit that three-pointer at the buzzer at the end of regulation, and it was called off, and it led to the one of the greatest college basketball games ever played. But back to Seahawk football. It's much does it need to change? I don't think so. It's much better than college. You might as well just play 7-on-7 to figure out who wins. I mean, it's just not even football. It takes away half of the – it takes away a third of the game. Offense, there's three parts of the game, and it was the part of the game that almost cost POU the game. There's offense, defense, and special teams. In college, you don't have to play special teams. You just might as well play 7-on-7. However, I really like Russell Wilson's idea. Did everyone hear that interview, what Russell Wilson thought the idea should be? He wants a field goal kickoff. You start at the PAT, and you keep walking them back to the by five-yard increments, and whoever misses first loses after the overtime. I think that's the greatest idea that's ever come out.
I think we need to get away from the kickers.
It sounds like it.
Give them more time on the field.
Some people in baseball believe that baseball games shouldn't have extra innings, and they should be home run derbies.
That'd be
the other team picks whatever offensive player they want to go out there, and whoever hits the most home runs in five swings, that's how you end the game.
Wow. That would be entertaining.
That'd be entertaining. Are you not entertained?
I might watch baseball if that were the case.
Are you not entertained?
Your sphincter says that pitch is coming to you, but I think I got to agree with Lacey. I think you got to keep having overtime until someone scores. People play great money to see these guys play. Yes, it's physical. I'm glad that you brought up that point because people need to not forget about that aspect of it. But football should not end a tie. Tom Miles talked about it. This isn't soccer. Just you got to have a winner in this situation, and that's what was so interesting watching it. Just, you know, and listening to Larry's quote, he had a couple other quotes about the crowd. No one really knew how to respond after the game. It's like the crowd's leaving. Are you happy? Are you sad? Mm-hmm. The Hawks are kind of happy that they walked out there with a tie because they should have lost, but then they also should have won. You know, if Housewood makes that field goal, and Arizona's like, gosh, we should have lost. Oh, but now we tied. A lot of emotions going on in that game. So I agree with Larry, who I wish I could meet someday, that it was a weird game.
It was a very weird game indeed. So now the Seahawks sit at, what, 4-1-1?
Mm-hmm. 4-1-1.
That's odd.
Right.
God, strange.
That's weird.
All right. Ugly. Let's move forward. It's time for some predictions. The Seahawks travel to New Orleans to face the Saints. Who does everybody have and why?
Why do we even ask Lacey this question anymore? We
already
know
the Seahawks
are going
to win. As always.
Every week.
The Saints are first in the league for pass yards per game at 339 and second in the league for total yards at 421. Hmm. I think those numbers are going to change significantly when they face the Hawks defense, who is allowing 310 total yards per game and is ranked number one in the league for points allowed at 14.
Wow.
So I think it's going to be a pretty easy win for the
Seahawks.
Hawks
defense rules. All right, yeah. Drew, who do you got?
Drew Brees is still alive and kicking at 37, turning back the hands of time. It's great to see. The Seahawks will win. They're going to roll the Saints, who are pathetic defensively, allowing 30-plus points in four of their last six games. So great chance for the Seattle offense to, you know, get back on track, but we'll see.
That's a good point. All right, Kellen, what do you think will happen this weekend?
Seahawks are going to take an L.
Whoa.
The Saints are 2-4, but three of the four losses have come by 5 points or fewer. Drew Brees is having a pretty decent year for his age. He's thrown 17 touchdowns to five picks for 2,101 yards and has a passer rating of 104.4. Unbelievable. The Saints are coming off a very heartbreaking loss to the Chiefs in Arrowhead Stadium. I say they win a tight one at home. And they show Hauschka how to make a game-winning field goal. The Saints win 24-21. I'm going bold prediction here, guys.
Wow. Very interesting. I'm not even going to do that this week. On Sunday, the Seahawks will win. The Saints' defense is ranked 29th in the league. They're giving up 403.8 yards per game.
It's interesting. Ever since Bountygate happened, their defense hasn't been very good.
Yeah, I just think that they're not going to be able to stop the Seahawks offense, who are going to want to get back on track after that kind of odd performance in Arizona. So that's what I'm going to go with. The Seahawks will win on Sunday.
And your quick score, Christian?
Oh, geez, 35-17.
35-17. All right. Awesome. Well, folks, we're going to take a quick short break, but when we come back, we will look at our last segment called Would You Rather. It's one of our favorite segments. I think we even have we had a Twitter poll yesterday. Not sure if we got any questions from fans, but we'll see if we did. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different. Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different, but no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Welcome back, folks, to our last segment of the day, Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 athletes on Loop Air Student Radio. If you want to call in the show and give us a would-you-rather question, please do it. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Once again, for the final time today, that is 253-535-7332.
Yeah, you got to know my name by now. I'm Christian Bond. I am POU's half-athlete. I'm joined by Kellen Westrank of POU Football, Lacey Nicholson of POU Women's Basketball, and Drew Artisoni of POU Men's Basketball. So everybody knows how to play Would You Rather. I'm going to lay out different sporting scenarios, and everyone in here is going to tell me which they would rather have happen. So let's get it started. Would you rather be a part of the best offensive team in the league or the best defensive team in the league?
Defensive.
Why?
Because defense wins championships.
Oh. Cliche.
Did I take the words out of your mouth?
Yeah. Can I just say ditto, Christian, for me?
I mean, I guess you can't.
That's literally what I was going to say.
You two play both ends of the court. Kellen is just offensive
you know
player.
What I'm gonna say.
So
I
kind of have an idea. Yeah.
I want an air show.
Offense, air show. Yeah, you want touchdowns? You want all the points?
Yes.
I see that. All right.
Yes.
You guys, Drew, you don't want to be getting buckets every night? Man, I'd be wanting to get buckets.
That's
every
not
night.
My – but Christian.
But it's not yours, but if your whole team's doing it, then you're probably going to do
role.
It too.
So Drew's more of a Tayshaun Prince kind of guy.
It's not my role. And Tayshaun Prince is way too athletic for me.
I'm saying
that's a way too athletic of a comparison.
I'm saying
I'm not going Scalabrine.
If you're part of a scoring team, you're probably going to score as well. I mean, like, buckets.
Yeah, but if you hold people under – but if you hold people under 40, you're not going to be – no one's going to beat you either.
Buckets. Okay. Would you rather have a very low stat line all season long, but make the game-winning play to advance your team into the postseason, or would you rather have the best stat line on the team for the season but lose the conference championship?
Lowest stat line and go to the conference championship? Come on. Talking to a role guy.
Well, you don't have to answer every question as a role guy. You could be like,
well,
you know what?
I want
to
get buckets. But that's what I am, though. That's what I am,
though. I would say I'm kind of a role player, too, but I think I'm going to be selfish here. I'd rather have the good stat line.
Ooh. And miss the conference championship?
And lose in the conference championship, yeah.
Dang.
Second in conference, nothing wrong with that.
Wow. Yeah, besides you're the first loser, it's the only thing wrong with that.
It's my first time I'm ever selfish.
Yeah,
I just kind of want to copy and paste what Lacey just said. I feel the exact same way.
I'm proud of you. You want the numbers and second in conference?
You guys are terrible people.
It is what it is. Let's see what's next here. Would you rather have the Seahawks and the Mariners or the Mariners and the Sonics in town? We talked about the new arena for the Seahawks possibly, or the Sonics, excuse me. The Sonics possibly. Which two teams would you rather have?
What about the Seahawks and the Sonics?
Nope.
No, that gets my vote.
That gets my vote.
Too easy.
Too easy for everyone in here. You got to pick.
I want the Seahawks.
Seahawks and the Mariners.
Okay. Seahawks and Mariners.
Seahawks and Mariners. Is this going to be a roll, Drew?
Sonics and Mariners.
Ooh. Going to kick the Hawks to the curb.
Who likes the sea chickens anyways?
Actually, I do.
So. I know you do. Too bad you picked them to lose a couple weeks ago when they won.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Who's buzzing?
Okay.
Okay. What else? What else?
I got one question.
Okay, let's hear it.
So would you rather have just an average season and just kind of not go through the motions, but you in particular played the whole season, kind of played average, or would you rather have an All-American year, but on the last game of the season, you tear your ACL and you have to go through that 9-month protocol of rehab?
Am I a senior?
Wow!
Yeah, am I a senior?
Another
year? Am I a senior? You're a sophomore.
I'd rather have an average season as a sophomore, and then I'll get better and have a baller season as a junior, senior.
I'd rather have an average season as a sophomore because at the end of the day, there are not many people on God's green earth who can do what John just did.
It's
and
true.
Come back from an ACL in a year. It doesn't happen that often. And that rehab process is absolutely
Dreadful.
Dreadful. To be able to not be able to do something that you once were able to do would drive me bananas.
Mm-hmm. See, I would rather have a great season, tear my ACL because I know I can come back from it. I've been through that. And so it's the way you look at it, and Adrian Peterson, thank the Lord he tore it before I did, because he gave us hope that you can come back and be able to be a great player. And so I would go through, that would be my answer. What about you, Christian?
I would totally be an All-American as a sophomore, tear my ACL, and then do it again as a junior and senior.
I like it.
100%.
Nice.
All right, what's everyone going to be for Halloween this weekend? This is it. We're done with Would You Rather. We're just going to talk for a little bit and then go to our classes and go about the rest of our day. But what are you going to be for Halloween?
I live with 5 girls.
Okay.
So the 6 of us are going to be a big family. We have our grandma.
Which is you, I'm guessing.
No.
Ooh.
We have our grandma, our mom, our dad, and our 2 baby twins, and the dog. And I am one of the twins. So I'm going to be a baby.
Who are you twinning with?
My housemate, Katie Scammerhorn. I don't live with athletes.
Okay.
They're awesome people.
You live with normal people? How do you do it?
I live with half athletes.
Kellen, do you have a Halloween costume picked out?
You know, I do. Oh,
no.
I kind of don't want to say.
He's totally hiding it. You can tell by the tone. He's hiding what he's going to be.
But it's going to be special. And there'll be some talks next week about what I was.
Where can we find you this weekend?
It'll be on Instagram.
Instagram is where don't see it in public. See the picture.
Hit it up on the gram.
He's gonna put it on for 4 seconds. He's gonna take the picture.
I probably won't put it on MySpace just because no one checks that anymore.
You guys want to try and start MySpace?
Am I in your top 10?
I talk about it every week,
dude. The song was that's what I looked forward to. That's what I judge people.
What was your song?
Mike Jones, My 6'4". That was my first song.
Oh man. Drew, you talked about your costume over the break. What are you doing again?
I have the I've done it for the last couple of years. I have the flight suit from Top Gun. I'm gonna be Maverick. Ooh. With aviators and all.
I like it.
How about you, Christian?
Are you gonna be Todd Miles, Christian?
No, I'd have not gonna be Todd Miles. I have decided that I am going to be Squints from The Sandlot. Not much effort required. I wear the big framed glasses, so that's pretty much what I'm gonna be. And Mackenzie is going to be Wendy Peppercorn. Mackenzie is my girlfriend. So
look at Wendy being a team player.
See, I was about to say, as soon as she said that, I was like, I'm surprised the girlfriend didn't make you do a couple's costume. Sure enough, couple's costume.
It was my idea. She couldn't think of one, so I
think next
up.
Year, you guys alternate every other year. Whose turn it is?
Whose turn it is to pick?
I don't know that we've ever really done that much for Halloween before, but.
Can I just say, I picked my costume last year for me and my boyfriend, and I told him, I texted him 5 weeks ago, and I said, hey, what are we going to be for Halloween this year? Just because I was walking in Bellevue, where I'm from,
yeah,
and they put up a new Halloween store. So it sparked my interest. I was like, what are we going to be? I'll let my boyfriend choose this year since I chose last year. So I texted him 5 weeks ago, and he goes, oh my gosh, it's too early. Like, why are you asking me this? And what are we now? 4 days until Halloween, and I still don't know what he's going to be, so... That's just boys.
Why do we have to talk about him like he's some ghost third-party entity?
Yeah, who is your boyfriend?
Yeah, who is your boyfriend, out of curiosity?
I think every regular listener knows.
He plays on the football team. That's all we have to say. He plays on the football team.
Johnny boy.
Plays on the football team, and he's not on the show.
We act like he's like Voldemort. Like, he should not be named. I mean, wow.
It's like Manti Te'o's girlfriend.
Wow. All right.
The only good defensive player ever to come out of Notre Dame.
Well, I just want to say what I said last week, which was the quote that I want to sign off with, Christian, which was, don't just die, do something.
Don't just
my favorite. It's literally my favorite thing.
So bad.
It's my favorite thing.
I literally was just like talking, and it came out.
It's
I kind of want to
talk about it. It's motivational.
I need to talk to Joanne about it if she's listening.
Did she approve it?
The copyright?
Of don't just die, do something?
That's what I need. I just need to see, is that worth copywriting?
I think it is.
I like it.
It's inspiring. It's simple. It's relatable. It's great.
Maybe we should all go to comm law class and
we can learn about that. Shots fired. Someone's been skipping his law class.
Check by Sakai.
He doesn't wear glasses. Okay, here we go. We're just about done with Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes. We had a great show today. We had Todd Miles come in and talk to us a little bit about everything because he covers everything for the Tacoma News Tribune. Check him out. Did a lot of football, a lot of POU football, a lot of Seahawk football, a lot of University of Washington football. Basketball is coming up. I know Lacey and Drew, you guys are excited about it. So we'll get to talking about that pretty soon. Name That Loop is fun. Be sure to listen to Laser later today at 4 p.m. to hear the Terrence Take podcast. She's going to be, I got a hunch she's going to be reviewing the new Lady Gaga album. So
I think you're right.
If you're interested in that, right. You should check that out. For Kellen Westering, Lacey Nicholson, and Drew Artisoni, my name is Christian Bond. Tune into the show next week on Thursday from 9 to 11 a.m. We're out of here. See ya.